Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Rise.
What should you avoid when first starting a business?
Get known for one thing, be great at one or two things, and then add services as you go.
You already do something that you already kind of know what you're doing, it mitigates the risk. Just done.
He was just like first word about to go, and Tito was like, by the way.
Wait, what? Change the whole subject.
That should be a clip right
now. It was shocking. Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Rise. We're going to get it going here with another Q&A. Costa, let's hit us.
All right, let's do it. Question number one. What should you avoid when first starting a business?
What should you avoid when first starting a business? Well, that's...
Can I start there?
Oh,
unbelievable. Are you going to go?
No.
Jump right in.
Just go right ahead. Well, you were
listen,
mumbling.
Listen, if you haven't noticed, there's like this trend that goes on that once I start
you were
talking,
mumbling.
He fucking cuts me off every time.
You were going, I have
it's
an
called
answer.
It's called thinking, like having an answer.
There was a big one last episode in Dr. D. Andrew's like,
I was like having like a Martin Luther King type moment, okay?
Clip.
It was a clippable moment, a perfect question. He was about to answer it. You jumped right.
The kid
jumped in. Changes the question.
No, it was the ice plunge. Don't do it the kid.
No, yeah, it was the ice plunge.
No, it was the kid. The ice plunge. Yeah. You changed it. I was just done.
He was just like first word about to go, and Tito was like, "By the way,
wait, what? Change the whole subject."
No, the ADD on this kid is next.
And the guy literally said, "Like, okay, back to what he was saying."
Yeah, he's like, "That's actually a good question." Like, back to
the person who asked the question. I can't believe that he couldn't believe it.
I honestly don't remember.
No kidding.
Nobody could believe it.
The camera's almost like shut up.
You were just like staring at it after two, because I was watching your face. You were just like looking at him for like
you saw
20
that, right?
seconds. Yeah.
That should be a clip right there.
It was shocking. It was a shocking moment in time. So anyway, what was the question?
You answer it. I don't even want to answer anymore. All right.
I forget what the question was.
Right. I lost my train of thought.
Restate the question. All right. Question number one. What should you avoid when first starting a business? Angelo?
Go ahead.
I lost my train of thought.
Okay. So listen, it's not an easy like one size fits all question, right? But normally when somebody starts a business, it's in a field that they already have experience in, right? Or they've been doing something for a while and have built up a clientele and is now opening like a business. Like for example, if you're a plumber, you know, you've been working under a plumber as an apprentice, you're just recently licensed, you've been doing side work, now you have enough work to start on your own. If you're a hairstylist, you've been renting a chair, building up your clientele, now you feel ready to go start your own. When you do it that way, there's much less risk when you open that store, right? Or that business.
Right, you're starting with a base.
Correct. If you don't have any experience, I just want to start a business. If you buy an existing business that already has momentum, sales, a name, traffic, then that's different too. It makes it much easier. So it's very, very difficult to just start something from scratch with no like momentum or
brand equity is really
correct. Brand equity, you know, through the people through the door, like getting foot traffic. It's very difficult. You're starting from a cold, cold start.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're going to start a business, start it in something that you are already knowledgeable in, already have clientele, already have who your vendors are going to be. You already kind of know what you're doing. It mitigates the risk when you're getting into it.
Right.
You know, like drop shipping, stuff like that, that's a whole nother story. I'm talking more physical businesses, service businesses, things like that.
So when you're bursting at the seams, like on an individual level, like my capacity's maxed out, I need to hire people.
Now it's
time to turn it into a business.
Correct.
To parlay on that, I think when you start to keep your overhead low.
Yes.
We've invested into businesses. We've watched and know people in businesses that they have these big high aspirations and they spend too much money to start, like just too much cost up front and a high overhead to start the door. That'll strangle you right off the bat. You don't have time to get the sales to exceed the overhead. Like your overhead should increase as your sales increase.
Exactly.
Like you can't, if you start at, it's like in a real estate deal, if you buy too high, you're fucked.
Right, exactly.
You know, you got to buy at the right price in order to make it work at the end.
Like, yeah, you make money when you buy. Because once you have a place that's too big, for example, then it's like it limits what you can do. Like everything you do, it feels like the wrong move from there on out instead of expanding as you go.
Right.
It's like start small and go out from there. Like, don't overbuild if you're going to build something.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, you overbuild, you overspend, you're over leveraged. You know, start small. Mm-hmm. And like you said, once you're bursting out the seams, then you can start expanding. But don't, like, if you're going to start a business, you have like three services in mind. Start with one service, master that service, and then do service 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's a really good point, yeah. too. That's a really good yeah. point. Don't offer too many things. Get known for one thing, be great at one or two things, and then add services as you go.
Yeah.
Like, the lower barrier to entry, you know, the I don't know. I lost my train of thought there, but start with one thing, perfect it, and then add adders and add-ons and extra sales and services after that.
Exactly. You know what the big issue is? Right now, everybody wants like a shortcut or speed.
Right.
Speed. Like, they don't want to put in that work to mm-hmm. really build the foundation. That's a symptom of like the social media era and everybody seeing and having FOMO, and people see people who are got tons of businesses or they're successful, or even people that ask us like, how do you know do all these different things, and right. they just want to jump into it, but they don't realize that we literally did. It's been 15 years.
Right.
15 years.
Right. You cannot skip steps.
Exactly.
You can buy knowledge. You know, you can exchange knowledge with money if you have it. But you still need to take that knowledge and go through the steps.
Right.
But the knowledge that you buy from other people, whether it's a mentor or like a mastermind program, that'll just help you from making wrong decisions and taking detours. Mm-hmm. You know, it keeps you on a focus path, but you still have to start at step one.
Exactly.
And go one step at a time.
Exactly.
All right. We're going to say this for the last question, but I think it kind of plays off that one. So, let's say you're kind of in that shoe. So if you just started a business and you have absolutely zero money or experience to run ads, and you have very little sales, what would you do? What should you focus on first, and how do you actually get people in the door?
Yeah, this isn't an easy one, right? Because it's like you're stuck between like a rock and a hard place. You know, like you have to pay the bills, right? You have like bills coming in, you have rent due, you have you know, electric, you know, utility payments due. If you have an employee, you have to pay them. That's coming in. You have nobody coming through the door, and you don't have any money to invest into marketing. So what do you do? The answer is, in short, like a macro answer, hand-to-hand combat. You have to pull people in. It has to be, you need to have your focus be your only time spent on driving sales is what needs to happen. Mm-hmm. Not doing the services. You need to find a way to pay someone to do the services. Right. But you need to drive sales because that is the only thing that'll cure the problem. Now, it depends on what kind of business we're talking about here. Obviously, you want to I would try to hire somebody, try to bring somebody in on a high commission style pay that is bringing business into the place. Right. So even if you have to give them a higher commission than you would normally want to in the beginning for them to drive traffic into the store. Right. So I would do that. I would do everything I could to create relationships and bring people in by any means necessary. I would do influencer marketing, right?
Exchange.
So yeah, like not for pay though, to exchange for services, talk to as many influencers as possible mm-hmm. to drive traffic through your door. You know, those three things, if you were to do those like aggressively, then you should start having sales.
I think one thing that people miss out on is Instagram outreach. So it's completely free. So if let's say you're out of a business, you have nothing to do all day. If you sit on your phone and you try to find your specific avatar of your service or business, and you just reach out to 300-400 people a day on Instagram, you will get people interested in your product. That's number one. Number two is getting creative with your offer. So for example, like your CTA, your call to action. Like there is a car wash that I drive by all the time. And it says huge sign, free car wash. And I drive by and I'm like, fuck. Like, pretty interesting. My car's kind of dirty. I went in there one time. I did it. And then now it's prestige car wash. Now mm-hmm. I pay $29 a month. But it was because of that sign that said free car wash. So if you're sitting there, you have to eat shit on your first one or two orders or one or two service items, whatever it is, to get people in the door. Don't be greedy on the first two orders to try to be profitable on them. Look at it as I'm going to eat shit on these one or two times for them to come in or whatever your business is, and then earn their business, which would get you your base to get your referrals. That is what you should start focusing on in the beginning if you want like real granular stuff. So get creative on your offer. So if you're a service, do fucking 60% off. Who cares? Doesn't matter. You got to get people in the door, generate some buzz, and then kind of work with those people to then generate your base.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's good. And part of that too, it's okay, look at what you're offering, what your services are, find out which is the highest margin and lowest barrier to entry. Like, what can you get people in the door for the least amount of money out of their pocket, and that has like the most margin on it, and have that be your like loss leader, like the thing that pulls people in, mm-hmm. right, in the door, and push that product to try to drive traffic, and then work on upselling them once they get in the door, right? And that could be again plumbers. It could be you do filter changes for nothing or something like that. And then you get in, you create a relationship, you put your sticker there for maintenance calls, and now next thing you know, you're their plumber. So something to get people in the door.
You can't be ashamed of to get referrals either. Like, the after you get the client in the door, like, really push the referrals, incentivize people. Hey, listen, if you bring me someone next week, I'll give you the next month for free of whatever service. Like, really be aggressive, overly aggressive on those referrals, because people will incentivize. Everyone knows 10 or 20 people in their phones that need your service. Mm-hmm. Now, why are they going to go out and do that for you? Incentivize the shit out of them. Again, if you're a service like a plumber or an electrician or something, your next four services for free, something so overly aggressive to say, listen, can you text your 10 friends for me, or give me their number and I'll text them for you and say that you referred me over. Mm-hmm. Like, don't be ashamed to do that. It's your business. It's your, it's food on your table. Like, don't be ashamed to go after and get it like that.
Yeah.
I think determining too, like, who your customer is something that gets lost in the beginning, because you're just like, I don't care who comes in here right now. But if it's, who is it that needs your service? Is it moms? Is it people in their 20s? Who is it? And then where do you find those people? Is it Facebook groups?
Is it gyms?
Is it high schools? Yeah. Gyms, exactly. And then you need to be the person to do it as like the proprietor of the business. Like, even early on for us, right? You want to be the top dog in your own business, obviously. You just want to hire out and just pull all the strings from the top. But in that early stage, especially if you're struggling to get customers in the beginning, that's where you got to be able to wear all hats. You need to train yourself to be a salesperson. It can't be, I'm not good at sales. Guess what? Your business depends on it.
If you're going to be a business owner, you have to be good at sales.
You have to be good at everything.
Your ego's got to put way aside. You can't think,
exactly,
I'm too good enough to do a demo. I'm too good enough to, I'm the business owner, I don't need to do that. You got to take that way aside. Like, mm-hmm. If I would have worked for someone else, I would just keep working for someone else. No, dude. In the first year, 2, 6 months, whatever, it's at a least. Grind. Yeah. It needs all that shit.
One thing that I say all the time that's so true to be an entrepreneur is you need to be an accountant. You need to be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. You need to be, a plumber. You need to be an electrician. You need to know how to do everything, right? And you need to be almost like an expert. Like, when I talk to like lawyers at this point, I'm literally like going over like penal code, like 22-3, mm-hmm. like on shit. Like, I, mm-hmm. and like the, in the tax code and stuff, like with the accountants and everything. Like, you need to be that well-rounded to be able to know everything, especially in the beginning. Well, actually, no, that's even as you get bigger, you need to know, how to make moves and how to do it the right way.
Right, it's just at a higher level.
Exactly.
With bigger stakes.
Exactly.
It doesn't get any easier. That's another thing we've noticed too. It gets easier, I guess, like physically, like you're maybe not knocking doors as the levels get higher, but, the stakes get higher and the problems get bigger. Mm-hmm. And things get more complicated,
Mm-hmm.
Outreach really is a thing, though. Like, even when I was a promoter and I was getting older, right? Like, I had no touch with, college kids and shit. I was 24. Yeah. Like, I was just out of that scene. So I was like, all right, what am I going to do? So I literally would look up college rosters of like the athletes, look up the basketball team roster, find them on Instagram and be like, hey, you guys want to go to party for free? And then that's how I would find.
Yeah,
offer
your service for free. Provide value.
Yeah, right? I mean, we talk about that a lot here.
Right. At the end of the day, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to over provide. If you're a barber, run around everywhere that's around you. Free haircut. Free haircut. Free haircut. Free haircut. Right. And then when they come in, you better make sure you do an unbelievable, bang up job, like hospitality to the max.
Right.
That's how you keep people.
Because now you have to think that person has to not go to his barber he was going.
Right.
So you have to give him exceptional service. Mm-hmm. You have to answer his text within minutes, like. Your customer experience means so much, mm-hmm. when you're first starting that's what's going to win over a customer. It's your product, your service. But if you like respond fast or you move things around for somebody, like that's the shit
Yeah, especially with the internet these days, dude. Like the way things happen fast, it's like you don't have as much time to figure things out as you go. And if somebody has a bad experience, like they're not just telling 10 people like they were before, which was bad as it is. Now they could post something in one place and 20,000 people saw it. Mm-hmm. You know, so you could sink or swim really fast early on.
Yeah,
true. Another really good tip I just remembered is really work on your reviews online. So if you're just starting a business, clearly when someone Googles your business, you're going to have zero reviews. Text every one of your friends, everyone in your phone book. Can you give me a review? Can you give me a 5-star review? Can you give me a 4-star review, 5-star, whatever? And start building your reviews because your internet presence matters in a lot of businesses.
Oh, every business.
Yeah, but like a lot. Restaurants hugely matters. Service businesses, solar, everything, it matters. If you Google a business, there's 2 or 3 stars, like overall. You're like, fuck, these guys suck.
That's a good point, too. I mean, like, make sure your online presence is on point.
Right.
Yeah. How does your social media look? Is all your hours correct everywhere? Does your website has no dead links? Everything works and it looks great. Are you on Google? Any platform that you can be on for free? Are you on all those things?
Mm-hmm.
That's something that really gets lost.
Yeah.
When you're just so focused on the business, like, shit, what does it look like when a customer Googles me right now?
Right.
You know who had that issue? Was mom.
Yeah.
Her website's outdated. She's a great business. Website's outdated. Instagram is way outdated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all this stuff is outdated. I'm helping her with that now. But it doesn't see it has a lot of issue. Like it has a lot of like impact, but it will. Mm-hmm. When we fix it all, she's going to see a lift.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Next.
Next question. Let's talk about measuring an employee's success. When is it time to move on from an employee and how do you do it properly?
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. This is a tough one.
Yeah,
This is the hardest. This is for me. This is the hardest part about.
I'm no expert at this.
Being in business, it's you know, because people are involved. You know, it's tough.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I think it starts from bringing them in, right?
Yeah.
But as soon as they come in, I take the mentality of like, this person sinks or swims, it's not going to be at my fault either way. Mm-hmm. Like my side of the street's going to be clean. So the first 4 or 5 days is the most important stretch of time for any new employee. So their onboarding needs to be perfect. They need to understand the company perfectly. They need to have a legitimate training schedule laid out, which is a lot easier said than done. But if you do all those things
and set the expectations, right?
The expectations are set. Then after 6 weeks, if that I measure, are they having an impact? What's the impact that they've had?
Right.
Is there any impact at all? Right. Sometimes people come in, it's like if they're here or they're not, it doesn't make a difference.
That's a really good
Are they taken away from the table or are they adding to the table right away? Because A players, when they come in, they don't need 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 days, they're making an impact. I also measure by talking to the staff.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to the employee, the people that care about the place, that have you're aligned in what you know, everyone cares about the brand, the company. Ask them, hey, what do you think so far? You know, you're not like gossiping. You just want to know, like, hey, how'd it go? Have you talked to... what's his name today? Have you seen him today? And you find out a lot, you know, all different walks, all different positions. You want to find out from everybody. Mm-hmm. How are they interacting with the dishwasher? How are they interacting with, you know, whatever, the owners, anybody? You learn a lot.
Mm-hmm. I think you also know when someone's going to work out or not. Like in the first like couple days of that interacting, if you really know your business and your culture, you have an idea. Like, okay, this person's either molding in the right direction or this person's like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, there's something off here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you start to get those, like, gut reactions in the beginning and usually those gut reactions come to be true.
Yeah.
Like, eventually down the road, whether it's week, month, 2, 3, 4. So, any time that I felt really good is when we hired slow and fired fast. Mm-hmm, like, it sounds, like, kind of brutal, but... it's true. Like, you know when they're not going to be good. So why waste their time and yours? It's resources and time of building someone else, whatever. Like, fire fast.
The biggest mistake you can make, you're going to hire people that don't work out. It's impossible not to. It's just going to happen. It's a crapshoot, right? Like, you can get better at hiring, but there's a high percentage of people that aren't going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing is, when you know that it's not going to work out,
cut.
You got to pull the plug fast or else then it's on you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now you're hurting the business.
Right.
You know, even that's how I get myself over like the personal level loop. It's like, I'm not doing what's best for the company right now.
Right.
What's best for the company is for this person to be gone.
One common mistake, you know, that I've made and I've seen people make is that I'll see something in them that's like a character flaw, or they're not doing something right, like for sure, that they clearly should be. And I make excuses for them as to why. And then are they going to fix it? Can they fix it? Talk to them. They fix it for a week and then they go back to it. What I have found is that like people, it's like what they do when you're not looking and pushing them, that's who they are, right?
When you're not there.
When you're not there, that's who they are. So if that's their state and that's not up to your standard, then it's better just to stop wasting everybody's time and move on.
Right, right.
Right, and stop making excuses for that person and for yourself because of the fear that you don't want to make this decision, or you don't want to have the tough conversation, right, or you don't want to do it. And remember that it's just hurting the business, it's hurting you as a person, and to be honest with you, it's hurting them,
mm-hmm,
because they're probably not in the right position for them to succeed and have the most success in their life.
Mm-hmm. I think what Lucho said was so important about the impact. Like if you hire somebody, like there is a data of ROI that you're getting from an employee that you typically need to show some way, shape, or form. And if you hire a salesperson, for example, and your sales are X, and after 4 months, your sales are still Y, like they haven't increased, clearly,
right,
you know, this person's not having an impact. If you have a customer service person and there's no higher level of like people being happier, or like the comments that you're getting are like, wow, you responded so fast, or these little like incremental comments, if you're not seeing that in your customer service, okay, clearly that person's not having an impact. So that's really important what Lucho said, is really figuring out a way to judge their impact, whatever that hire is, and then review it after 30 days and seeing if it went up or down.
Right.
Yeah. And if it didn't, then you have an issue of impact. You have an issue with ROI on that person. You probably don't need them.
All you have is overhead.
Right. All you added was overhead for no reason.
Yeah.
Exactly. Even if you're a salaried employee or an hourly employee and not like a commission-based salesperson, your paycheck as an employee, it's a commission.
100%.
Right? It's either you're worth the value of what you're being paid or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
To the company.
Right. So
not as a person, right, but to the company. Right. There's a value.
Right. So I've had conversation with individuals, you know, with people just asking for more money. And my response to that now is, what kind of, are you bringing more value to the company? Are you bringing more sales to the company? Are you saving money for the company? Or else nothing's changing.
Or are you able to do additional tasks?
Right. More responsibility.
More responsibility.
Which has more value.
Right.
Right. Like you're doing more services that you might not have to hire another person if this person could pick up that responsibility.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's huge. I think before you hire them, knowing what their metrics are, because I've made that mistake 100 times before Lucho corrected me on it, is what does success of that person even look like?
Yeah.
Give him those metrics using KPIs, whatever that metric is, again, because it's in so many industries, it vasts so many different things. But no, when it's up to you as an employer to know what those metrics are and then gauge them.
And clearly communicate them.
Because if you don't, they're driving blind and you're driving blind, and you're as the employer leading that person in the wrong path. And that's when it's your fault.
And you don't feel like your side of the street is clean when you do let them go. It's like they were like, I didn't know I was even doing a bad job. Exactly. I didn't know that's what I was supposed to be doing.
Right.
Well, these were the expectations that were laid out. Are you doing any of these things? No. Okay. Sorry. Move on.
It also makes your conscience clearer when you fire.
Exactly. It makes it easier.
Nobody's surprised.
Exactly.
It happened on its own. Yeah. When you're setting the expectations that clear, usually what will happen with the people that are really just shouldn't be there, they fire themselves. They phase themselves out.
Right. They know that they're not doing
it. Exactly. Like, clearly I didn't get the 10 sales this week, or clearly I didn't get the 2 new accounts. It's been a month. Like, mm-hmm, I know where I stand, it's without obvious, anyone telling me where I stand.
Right. Next meeting, you sit down to talk about it. You don't even have to say
this is a good question, Koss. I think that's going to bring some value. Because that took me personally, not talking about you guys, that took me years to figure out after kind of being around these fuckheads for a while and then learning from like other people on social media and stuff.
That was good.
Yep.
Koss is winking at me as if, do you want to say something?
That. What's going on?
No.
Are you communicating with me?
He was saying a good question. I was just saying, like, it was inspiration mainly from you. So I was just like giving.
That's what we
acknowledgement.
Do. That's good.
Just giving you like a thumbs up. That's type great. Of vibe.
Yeah.
Woo. Yeah,
do we have another one?
No, that was the three questions we have.
Shit, we're ripping through.
So
Do one more.
You're not holding the mic up, but that's good.
They're good questions. Like that was that should bring a lot of value for young entrepreneurs for sure.
Yeah. And old. Dude, that's something that we just figured out, you know? It's not just figured out, but it's like takes a lot of pain and figuring, you know, to get that right.
KPIs, dude, as simple as they are in anything.
Yeah, but some jobs aren't measurable like that, like KPIs. So you have to like...
What job is it?
Customer service, is that one?
Yes, 100%.
How do you measure?
How many people they're talking to? How many five-star reviews did they get? Yeah, how many complaints?
You could find a KPI for almost everything.
Yeah. Like, really, it's just weird. Like, it's not as black and white as sales.
Right.
But there's 100% measurements.
Yeah. You want to know what I was talking to this guy who works at Capital Grill, and there's like this legendary grill cook that's worked there for like 25 years. And I guess he doesn't work on Monday night. So they're like, if you go there, don't go on Monday night. This guy's unbelievable. But you know how the reason I bring it up, he gets an award every year because he has the least amount of
complaints
of food sent back, like steaks overcooked or undercooked to him. So that is something that they measure as a company. So they're measuring like how many sendbacks they get or how many complaints they get from that station.
Could
so
you imagine
that's awesome.
How many fucking steaks get sent back at those places?
Dude.
And how they go to waste?
The reason, the day I had that conversation was when we had, I think it was like my kid's christening or whatever. We had it at Capital Grill or whatever baptism. And there was like 55 like tomahawk steaks that came out. 55. And every single one of them was a different temperature.
Yeah.
Medium rare, medium, well done, blah, blah, blah. Everyone came out perfect. I was like, you know,
who
being
is
a restaurant
guy,
I'm like,
I think
this is going to be a fucking nightmare.
We went to the kitchen.
We went to the kitchen.
We're
going to
see this fucking
I got to see him. I want to look in his eyes.
That's why I love his calves.
But that right there raises the point of how important people are in your business.
Oh, you know, dude.
That's the Capital Grill, and they're... It's people.
Right.
People are the business.
Exactly. You think, oh, it's their Capital Grill. That's why. No.
It's people.
It's because they retained an excellent employee and trained him and treated him well and did all the thing. And this guy's happy to still be there after 25 years. Like, dude, once I remember this was like I don't know how many years ago at the restaurant. We were like, listen, this is the name of the game in the restaurant business.
Retention.
Is keeping the people that work for you happy. That's it. That's because when they're happy, they give good service, they give good everything, right, to the customer.
Yeah.
In retention, in customer, I mean, employee retention.
Customers can feel that, you know.
Dude, they feel in the front and then even on like the back and everything. If you lose a guy in the kitchen, right, it's a huge pain in the ass to replace them, right? And it's like, in while during that training process, there's a like a turn in, like you're going to start having complaints. And like we had a thing with like a pizza guy for like a couple months, and it was like every other frigging complaint was about
pizza.
Too much sauce, not enough cheese, mm-hmm. overcooked, undercooked, mm-hmm. not cut right. not
how
round.
About that YouTube video that you sent? It was that billionaire that has, he did all the home services like basements and stuff.
Yes.
And that guy talked for an hour straight about the key to his entire business was keeping his team intact and just adding to it every year.
Right.
And he was going around his office saying, how long were you here? How long have you been here? 15 years. How long have you been here? 12 years, 18 years, 22 years.
Right.
You know, look at the Patriots, dude.
I know.
Why did they have that 20-year run?
Right.
Because their core people were the same. They had the same coaches. They had the same quarterback. They had the core people on the offensive line. You know, they had their core people and they built around them. Obviously, a percentage of it changes.
Right.
But your core is the same.
Right. It's so important.
It's scary.
There's a fine line. You know?
The restaurant stuff you mentioned, waiters and waitresses are so important to the brand of a restaurant.
And a lot of restaurants undervalue them.
Oh my God, dude. If you have it's the same thing like I just did a demo, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you had a bad demo, the reason why I even bring this up, because I guess I hired a demo person like maybe 2 years ago before COVID, and Liz, the owner, remembered. She's like, oh yeah, you had this one girl here.
Right,
she's
and they
terrible.
Probably look at the company as
different.
If it sucks because of the 16-year-old kid.
And
that did
that's my point. Right. If you have a bad waiter who isn't polite, just give an attitude, whatever, it's not like Joey the waiter sucked.
Dude, there's still
Toscana sucked.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
Yeah, and that's any business. That's if you send a sales rep to somebody's home. Mm-hmm. That's if you're doing an installation in someone's home and there's somebody who's rude to the person or they don't do a good job. Yeah. Anybody who's representing your company directly to the homeowner is a huge reflection on you as a business. They can almost see the core values of the business through that person's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I think we pride ourselves in. Like at the restaurant, we get compliments all the time about like
your staff,
the staff. And at Nutre with the customer service, Like, we get messages all the time. We had that awesome email the other day where the guy was like, you know, I know I had this issue. Like, a thing's going to happen when, you know, when right. you're doing these deliveries. I know you had this issue, but your customer service is, like, shining through, right. and it shows how much you guys care as a company.
That's another good point for a young business. When you have a problem, that's an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Every problem, it's so freaking true. Every, you have a complaint at a table, whatever it is, any kind of complaint from a customer, you just open up a beautiful opportunity to now make that right, go over the top. Now that they're going to remember how you handled that forever.
People, yeah, almost, it's better than if it was just a smooth process.
People
start to finish.
Almost right. value the how you handle the issue more than a seamless service, because again, like you said, how you handle it is how you're judged on the business. If it, hey, I want to cancel, yeah, sure, fine. Your service is canceled. You know, thank you so much.
Right, exactly.
If you cancel, why do you want to cancel? Oh my God, what happened? I saw you ordered this. Is now you've ordered for 7-8 weeks. You did this. You did that. I know you've been dealing with Joe at the deliveries, and right. we talk so highly of you. That little, it's so little, mm-hmm. but it's so huge.
And people get stuck on, like, as like business owners or whatever, on like a $100 like charge up yeah. or down, like. They will fight the homeowner over like a stupid nominal.
It's a lot of ego. You know, we know what we're doing. That was done right.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't matter.
It's ego. It's just arguing for no reason. Like, if you just.
Before you go, because I have a hard time. Hard time of.
Principle.
No, no.
Big principle guy.
No, fueling the Karens. Like. Because, yes.
Yeah, but Karens can be won over.
I know, but dude, Karens, when you know that they know, yeah, no, that the you know that they're trying to get one over.
Well, you have probably no more patience for it anymore because you've been doing it for a while. Yeah. But you put some fresh legs in there, Karens can be won over.
Yeah, but do you want to win a Karen?
But that's the thing. They just keep... They just know...
Listen, in the beginning,
the
you
system.
Need
to... Well, you have to have your limits. Right, like you have to have your limits.
But right now, there is no, because everyone's trying to do so good at customer service. Everyone's gonna refund. Everyone's gonna like okay.
You do it once, okay. You do it twice, whatever your thing is. But it's not if it's gonna keep going this way, and it's every time you're gonna
you're not even worth it.
Say, listen, it doesn't look like we're the right service for you. You know, thank you so much. We appreciate your business and giving us a chance, but it looks like we're unable to service you. You know, thank you very much, and. You know, call the guys down the street. I heard they do a very good job.
Seriously. Here's a gift card for that restaurant down the street.
And here's a gift card for them. And don't ever call me again and fuck off.
It's just people. Yeah. It just bothers me because I know so many people, like so many of these Karens are, they just know the system. They know how to get refunds.
Those ones are tough.
And you're looking, you're reading that email. That's why I can't go be in the emails anymore. You go on those emails and you read them and you're like, oh, man.
They're tough. They're really
I know
tough.
What she looks like. Or he looks like, I know what she wear. I know everything about this person.
But let me tell you, that's why you don't do customer
exactly.
service anymore.
No, thank God.
And that's why hiring is so important. Yeah.
And that's why hiring. We used to do all the customer. You should have seen us on Sundays. We'd have customer service. We'd all be on the customer service email.
It ruined my quality of life. No, my quality of life was completely gone.
The minute an email would come in, the group text between us would just start going, you fucking see this bitch.
Hats thrown.
Yeah.
Just are you kidding?
No,
I
got
with this lady.
Hire, if it's customer service, you got to hire people that like other people. I literally remember this time. This was probably like fucking 12 years ago. I interviewed a waitress. She was like probably in her mid 40s. And she literally told me the whole, like, she looked like she was seasoned, like she's been doing it forever, had a ton of experience, but she was just done with people. Done. Like, basically just told me, like, I don't like people. You know, like, I got a problem.
Great hire.
I got a problem with people. I hired her. I literally hired, because I'm like, she has experience. She'll get it done as long as she could fake it through, right?
Right.
But I still think to this day, like, why would I hire that person?
Right. Well, and, you live and learn.
But. Yeah, no, like, but that was a big lesson for me. Like, you have to pay attention.
Did she have a problem with customers, like, right away?
Yeah, she had a problem with staff, if I remember right.
Yeah.
No one liked her. She was in and out in a day.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what a good culture will do. If you have a good, strong culture within the staff, the good ones will just get pushed out. You don't even have to do anything.
So that's what goes back to, like, when you're first starting, you have to do everything. And then when you know that somebody else will do that job better than you, mm-hmm. like customer service, the minute you can, you have to put that person in. Because guess what? Next thing you know, customer service went from being the worst part about your company to, like, a strength of your company because someone else is in the middle. And let me tell you, when I see those emails now, like, let's say somebody from customer service sends us one of those, like, how do I handle it? I'm like, oh, no, handle that properly. Make sure we give them the right, right. thing.
Because you're out of
it. Because you're not dealing with them directly. Right, you're just seeing it from 30,000 feet. So your perception of it looks different.
Exactly.
Your perception of it was, well, it's our responsibility to make that customer happy, mm-hmm. period, end of story. But if you're the one taking it directly on the chin from those people all day long, you get personal with it.
Yeah, what you shouldn't do is do exactly what I did, which was get so fucking personal.
Tino is the number one word.
And live on the principle of what they were saying. Like, well, it didn't get delivered to my house. I'm like, well, you didn't put the address and you didn't put the...
Right. Your address was wrong.
Yeah, you didn't put the number and you put the wrong zip code and you actually put the wrong address. So how is that our problem?
Right.
But see that... And then your other mistake was... Here's a little tidbit that'll save you a lot of time, I mean, a lot of aggravation in life, is never respond to something when you're upset. Ooh. Immediately. Never.
That should be on your fucking gravestone.
Yeah. Yes. Never. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Always wait.
I've been good at that.
You should follow Drake's rule. That's a recent development.
No, the past year to 2 years. You should have saw the text I have written to someone today. Yeah. Well, and I deleted
you still
it.
Type them in, though.
No, I deleted them. But that's part of my exercise.
So that's been years of us beating him down to just stop it.
Don't do it.
Stop it.
Don't do it.
I wrote really, as soon as I know something's coming, I'm like, I call him, like, whatever you do, do not respond or text.
Yeah, go like
I wish that we could do an episode of going through my phone to see some of the messages I send people who try to fuck us. It's hilarious. Looking back, it's out of control. But the message I had sent, I read out today. We have an investment that we put in, and
oh my god,
years ago,
really?
This weed investment, and there's like this email. I don't know. Anyway,
oh my god,
Tino's an actual liar.
Out of nowhere. See, the thing is, he'll just have moments where he goes back.
I got so aggravated, so I asked him a question. He responded, and I just got so pissed off at his response. I typed this big long thing. Cecilia's yelling at me. I'm texting and driving. I'm swerving fucking lane to lane.
Talk about out of nowhere, though, too.
No. It's for a reason. I'll tell you after we got these emails. And I asked him a question. And the question was reasonable. Anyway, and I just typed it up. But I was really in the back of my head, like, Luch and Ange would just be so mad that I send this text. I'm just going to delete it.
Repetition. Good. That's progress. Yeah. All right. There you go.
And I deleted it.
Progress.
And I deleted it.
The famous line.
And I just responded and said, okay.
Good.
Wow. Hey. There you go.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's my famous line. Okay. Yeah. Tino, on Tino's gravestone, it's going to say,
I'm going to read one.
Look at yourself in the mirror.
I got to read it.
When he's in an argument with you and he knows he's right, he'll ask you to look at yourself in the mirror.
You don't want to be on the wrong side of an argument with Tino. I'll tell you that.
No, because I keep
receipts. Do not read it.
I got a good one. No, because no one will know, and no one will ever know who it is.
Just
here we go.
This is where we stop providing value.
Yeah, this is a long
one.
This is good. This is hilarious.
Go ahead. We can always edit this.
No, he's going to say it's in the show. It's the way it has to be.
December 31st, New Year's Eve.
Last year.
2021. This is that. Okay, just to preface it, this is 6 months of this person not responding. Of multiple texts and phone calls. I'm going to read this very nice. Happy New Year, bud. Just a reminder of how much zero respect you had for our business in 2021, and I'm sure it'll catch up with you in 2022. Still a $9,000 balance that you know that you have and you know you owe and refuse to pay because you have pathetic integrity. I'm sure your family would be ashamed to know that you conduct business in this fashion.
That was your New Year text.
To send that on New Year's Eve is such a calculated...
Yes.
That actually sent on New Year's, you said,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That definitely fucked up his night, though.
Yeah, you're thank a God. Spiteful
I woke
person.
Up that day, and I just chose violence. God.
You know, you've heard of, in the movie Elf, Miles Finch?
Yeah.
Miles
I'm not
Finch.
Small.
I know, you're not small, but there's just something, for some reason, how long have I been saying that he's Miles Finch? Yeah. This is like angry, like spiteful man.
Imagine when he's old. To be even worse.
No, right? He's been
no, when Tino gets old, we're going to have to euthanize him.
Put him down. Yeah. Put me down like an old sheltered dog.
Yeah.
No, but I've been way better, dude. Way better.
No, way better. Yeah. Today was progress. Thank you. That's good.
And I've written a couple the past couple weeks and deleted it. Or past couple months, not weeks. Months.
Did you see like the dots?
I write it out and I'm like, and in my head, I'm like, Luch and Hans would just be not happy with this. And I just delete it.
It's going to cause more problems. Yeah. They don't doesn't solve problems when you act that when you react.
No,
that
but
way.
They need to know. This one, they need, this guy needs to know. This one.
There'll be a time and a place where we'll let him know. Right. When it's
karma's
when it's
a bitch.
Yeah.
He'll get it.
A bitch. Anyway, okay, that's it.
But anyway, this is a great episode, I think, yeah, right? Other than that little tangent there at the end, even though that was valuable as well. All right, so like, share the show, for the love of God. Can somebody share this thing?
For fuck's sake, dude.
You know, share the clips. We don't put the clips on just so we can, you know, see how good we look, okay? Share the clips. Share this show. If you guys are getting value, you know, tell your friends about it. We're dropping episodes. We're trying to be consistent every Thursday at 5 a.m., so Thursday's the day it drops. If you know people that want to be guests on the show, you know, let us know. Shoot us a DM. Also, send in your questions, right? We want to hear what you guys are dealing with, what you want to talk about, what you want to hear us talk about. So have a good week.